Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
Gamers can't do it.
Let me try to set a tone and ask you a question. Share with our Score listeners what the most challenging, most difficult part of that contract was.
I know I'm still young in the industry and in life, and so those things are oftentimes in conflict with each other, and you finally get that bridge gapped at the deadline.
Wait, what?
And you finally get that bridge gapped.
Are we going to bring that back? Right?
Let's freeze it right about now. Go ahead and roll it.
And you finally get that bridge gapped.
You don't even... I'm sorry. It makes me laugh.
Get that bridge gapped.
What are you saying?
Did I also say get that bridge gapped?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's
a good one.
And you finally get that bridge gapped.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
I wonder why we waste our lives here when we could run away to paradise. But I am held in some invisible vice and I can't get away.
Welcome in. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score Sports Radio 670. Just a few minutes later on, we will get back to my partner's inability to make speech and also have some of your reactions to the George McCaskey interview. But right now, as we hear the sort of haunting tones of Wang Chung of the mid-80s, the title track, and it was the title of a movie made in that year, Called to Live and Die in L.A., the star of it, William Peterson, a Chicagoan, a former Loyola Academy defensive back, joins us right now. Hello, Bill. Welcome home.
Danny Mac. God bless you, brother.
I passed along your message to George off the air. I told
about
him
about Amos.
Yes, he says point noted. We liked Adrian Amos too this year.
Yeah, we got to keep him.
And he said, "Oh wow, Bill Peterson, big Bears fan. Sounds
Danny,
good to me."
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Bill, how have you been, man? It's been too long since we've talked.
I've been good, man. I heard you in the summer. Knew you were back happening, but I was only in and out of town real briefly. And I'm just glad that you guys are doing it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I wasn't sure how many bullets left I had left in the gun.
Right.
Being around a lot of younger guys has helped. It sounded to me like when we chatted briefly, like you're out of professional bullets yourself. Am I reading you right?
I mean, you know, you get through it. You do something long enough, and unless there's something that comes and makes you alive, it's hard to keep going. So I applaud Danny Parkins for standing next to you.
Well, thank you. I'm keeping him young. I'm keeping him in the game.
Yeah, you got to keep him going, baby. He's good, man. He's good. He's one of the all-time best.
I call him a legend, and he goes, no, you're only a legend after you die. I'm like, well, then what do I call you? I guess just Danny Mac.
Still grinding.
Yeah. Dan McNeil.
Oh, there it is. There's the scorehead in him.
Oh, God.
We get older, we resist some change, Bill. And with you, it's technology. I'm glad you're on the hard line instead of the bag phone. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't do any of that streaming, whatever it's called.
I know. You didn't shoot the Rat Pack in 8mm, so always on the hard line for us. Thank you. I am resistant to the change in your industry, and I love movies. They are so much more intimate to me than television, but
right.
Television is crushing the film industry right now, which seems content to make cartoons into movies and remake other people's great work.
Yep. The movies have, it's become a corporate. It's like the world, dude. I mean, it's corporate. And the movie studios are dealing on a corporate basis. You know, they're looking for Transformers 10 and, you know, Spider-Man 6. And that's where they're at. All the creative work is being done in television. And because of the internet and cable and the whole thing, you know, it's just blown open. So there's just a ton of people creating stuff. Creating product, because there's such a need for product on all these. There's so many venues now for people to watch stuff that so there's much more creative opportunities for young people to do stuff and make stuff, and the movies don't do that anymore. You know,
No, they don't. And I try to get Mac to, you know, sign up for Netflix. And I, you know, I'm a diehard fan of The Wire or The Sopranos or Breaking Bad. And he hasn't, I mean, he's seen some of The Sopranos, but he hasn't seen these culturally relevant shows.
No, all that stuff is great. I mean, I'm sorry. I The Sopranos came back on last week or something because it was like their 100th year. And it was great. It's just, you know, you just suck back in. I mean, there is some great television. Game of Thrones is one of the greatest things ever produced.
It's amazing.
You know? Almost impossible to believe that it could be produced like that. And you know, so yeah, and The Wire, maybe one of the best things ever done.
I did latch on, Billy, to True Detective in 2012 in a big way. I've gone back and rewatched at least three or four times. Season two was rushed, an embarrassment. Three episodes in this year, I'm in. How do you feel about it?
Slow. It's slow.
What don't you like?
I love Marshall Ali. He's a brilliant actor. He's a beautiful talent, and Stephen Dorff's great too. You know, but I just direction wise, script wise, it just doesn't have what that first year had. And I don't know whether that's because of Woody Harrelson and McConaughey, but those guys managed to make that thing really, really brilliant the first year, and I just think it's always hard to do something great twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did they set themselves up for failure in your opinion? And Danny and I think it's going swimmingly. No, it's not the first year, but they have three directors for eight episodes. Is that too busy?
I think so. There's something about it that's just I don't care enough about. You know, the girl's missing. And the kids, you know, it's like, I'm like, why am I paying attention to this guy growing old?
Right, you don't know where it's going.
I mean, it's
because
okay.
He's disturbed. And Purple Haze has some demons up there. The black dog is walking.
Do I care about him? I want to find the girl. I don't really care about anything else.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I mean, you know, we learned pretty quickly in one that Woody's character had terrible blemishes. And I
don't mind that. Yeah. That's all good. I don't mind the flaws, but I'm still, I like this guy. I just want him to go faster.
Okay. All right. I have heard that criticism. I got it.
So what does William Peterson consider to be the best television show of all time?
You mean aside from CSI?
Obviously. I thought that was implied, Bill.
You know, I cannot say that I've ever seen anything remotely like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I mean, and I was very slow to it because my wife had read the books, and she made me watch it. And the first year and a half, I was like, I don't understand who anybody is. I don't know what the hell is going on here.
Yep, there's so many characters.
Oh, my God. But just in terms of the, you know, from the performance, I mean, I don't know that it's a great, it's a magnificent acting thing. But if you see it on a fairly large screen, it's incredibly you know, when you see those dragons come on, that's about it for me.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny you say that. I describe it to people who haven't seen it. Like, I know this world of dragons and magic and, you know, transatlantic war doesn't exist and it's fantasy.
Yeah.
But if it did, it would be Game of Thrones. Like,
yeah.
They make me believe that it's real, even though clearly it's not.
And, you know, quite frankly, Danny, I think that the job of artists, writers, directors, producers, whatever, is to take you to some place you've never been. You know,
that's a great point.
We live in our world day and night, and you know what you want to do is you want to go someplace else, and you want to see what it's like to be somewhere else, somebody else. And man, when you go in that, you know, it's violent, it's funny, it's. The dwarf is brilliant. I mean, it's quite moving television. I mean, yeah, there's a million great shows, and we're lucky to have them all.
Chicago's William Peterson with us on The Score. And, you know, just looking at our texters, talk Manhunter, talk Fear, talk the Rat Pack, talk, yeah, there's
know,
a lot of ways we
know.
Can go. And I love all of them. I want to, you know, to take people behind the curtain a little bit, as CSI was just a seed in your brain. And, you know, now when I look back on it after the show's enormous success from when you were planning it, sitting in the Village Inn in Skokie with your cousin and my buddy Oak Park Vandy, who says hello. And
oh, God bless him.
And you're going over your vision for what has changed in forensic investigations, and a television show hasn't captured it. It's been a long time since Jack Klugman did Quincy. And you're talking about Vegas as a backdrop. And it's just... It was so exhilarating to listen to your enthusiasm. And for a young artist out there who might be listening, I want you to give you a chance to inspire Bill.
Honestly,
because your enthusiasm, how you described what an executive producer does with a bulldog with a bone that he won't let go of, just, I will not stop until this project mushrooms into something wonderful. And we're going to talk to Brian Koppelman in a few weeks, and his is a great story with what he did with Rounders and Billions. So, you know, so there you go. Professor Peterson, the floor is yours.
You know, the whole thing about, the theater, obviously, where I come from, is different. Television, movies, whatever, the producer is, you have to be the producer, you know, ultimately. Whether you're a director wanting to be, it's like a head coach wanting to have control of the personnel, you know. Ryan Pace is the producer, you know, and he's responsible for every moment of everything. He's responsible for the trainers and the, you know, the guys that hold for Cody Parkey.
So he botched that one. He messed up the craft services.
And you do. You have to be so... You have to believe so much in the story you want to tell, because what's going to happen is that you have to then convince everybody, and not just everybody that has to work on it, but everybody that has to watch it eventually. You know, and it's daunting. It's daunting. If you're going to do something good, you know, you can do a lot of stuff, and the reason that some stuff doesn't get isn't as good as other stuff is because they don't have Bill Belichick or, you know, whoever.
I love it. We get one of the biggest actors in this city's history on it. He's making sports analogies.
He's trying to simplify for us idiots.
Yeah, I know.
Here.
I don't want to talk about, you know, men I know in Hollywood.
All right, I'll scrap James Gandolfini, what it was like to work with him question.
Oh, I love James. Jimmy was the best. He was the best. Sweetest, shyest, nicest. He caught my mother-in-law at the Emmys one night. We were walking up onto the stage after the Emmys was done, and my mother-in-law was in front of me, and she went up the steps, and she slipped and fell backwards, and Jimmy caught her. Saved her, probably broke a hip and a shoulder if he had to caught her.
Nice catch.
Good man.
Top of the 3 o'clock hour, Brett Musburger, 3:40 Dan Patrick today. Just name dropping.
Well, you're just bringing in all the old broadcasters.
Yeah, right.
Dan McNeil.
Have you traded in the mid-90s Oldsmobile, Bill? Have you upgraded?
Yeah, I don't have that anymore.
Okay.
I have a 2008 Highlander, which is now 10 years old.
No.
Yes. Yeah, a little hybrid Highlander.
When we had drinks with Speaks at 42 North, that's what he shows. And you're kidding me, right?
I used to have a Grand National, dude. I mean, it was the best car running.
That's why he's never working again.
I got a lot of tickets, and I gave it up.
A guy who cut...
I'm acting my age now, Danny.
Okay, my bad.
You cut class when you were a kid to go to a Cubs game, and you caught a foul ball hit by Don Kessinger. And you said something to me a few years back that I want you to follow up on, because we haven't talked since the Cubs won the World Series.
Yes, we have.
I don't think we have. You've talked about me, but not to me. You said that if they ever win it, it'll ruin everything. It'll destroy everything we've been about, us against the world, the curse, we're all in this together, and we'll never make it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of true. I think I was kind of right.
So when, Bill, you found no joy?
No, I have plenty of joy.
Okay.
But the joy was short-lived, because then it becomes, oh, man, they're not going to win again this year? This sucks. We didn't win another World Series last year. How could we not have won the World Series? They suck. Fucking Addison Russell.
We are not podcasting today,
sorry.
William. That's okay. That's
sorry,
the...
but you get in the Cubs. You get in the Cubs with me. I get a little
understandable.
Yeah, fire and passion. Crazy. Fire and passion.
No, I just think that, you know, it's different at Wrigley Field now. A lot different than it was 10 years ago. I think everybody's expectations are different. I think the money's different. Believe me, I am excited about Ricketts. I'm excited about Madden. I love them all. I just think it's different. When you start winning, it gets different.
And not better different.
Well, not as much fun.
Interesting.
Not as much fun.
I want to be the Yankees. I want to be the juggernaut that everyone
Danny,
hates.
I used to tell McNeil, you know, look, let's go to the – it's a party. It's just let's go – sit and have a party. It didn't matter who won. We had a wonderful afternoon.
Wow. He's one of two guys I know who feel this way. I just it's amazing. It really is. You know what?
Am I happy they won the World Series? Of course.
Yeah, but it's no longer the fraternity you had.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I gotcha. You know what excites me? When you were telling me about the Twins earlier today. Man, you and Gina decide to enter parenthood, and wow, what a challenge right out of the chute. Babies born just, you know, medically just, man, 24 months, Bill? They were
26.
Born,
26 months. They were each 2 pounds.
26 weeks. I'm sorry.
26 weeks.
Yeah, I said it. I started it.
And, you know, I mean, thank God we were in Los Angeles and we had UCLA Medical Center. You know, I'm not sure if we'd have been in Toledo or someplace if things would have gone as well. They were in the NICU for 3 months each, and they're fabulous. They've grown to be fabulous. I was hoping they could walk and talk, and they're happily through, halfway through the first grade, and they're passing their spelling tests, and they're joys.
How did parenthood change you?
Well, I was a parent before. I got older kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got grandkids older than my kids.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I live in Hollywood, Parkins. Yeah. You can have kids whenever you want.
That's true. Fair enough.
Yeah. This
one of the perks.
This young guy is he doesn't like that, but he's not ready. I don't think.
No.
I'm holding out.
You can wait till 58 like me. You can have some then.
I don't know if my wife agrees.
Oh, well, there you go.
I don't know.
Hey, there's nothing better. Ask Danny. And Danny's...
Yes.
You know, and there's nothing... It's the hardest thing in the world. And I am pretty sure it's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, Max says it's the best job he ever had.
And he's really good at it.
Well, I try. Sherry told me the other day Patrick asked her a question that ran double-digit words. He's 25. Those are
bless
victories.
Him.
Those are victories.
Listen, I remember... Does he still like bacon for Christmas?
Yes, turkey bacon though. He's a little particular.
He's going healthy.
Yeah, like his father before him, he's a walking contradiction. It's turkey bacon, but like 12 scoops of chocolate ice cream. You got to draw the line.
I remember when he loved the riding lawnmower.
Oh,
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, any gas engine, he was down.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, and that's it, man. I mean, life doesn't get any better than watching somebody grow. Regardless, and watching them struggle through it and make it through it, and that's the victory. That's the victory in life.
When are you coming back home?
Summer, I hope, although my wife, you know, she's got this Italy thing. Marry an Italian man, and the next thing you know, you're, you know, eating gnocchi the rest of your life.
That's not bad.
That's not terrible.
It makes me fat, though.
Why don't you buy one of Johnny Depp's houses in Italy so he can afford his landscaping bills on the other 13 homes he owns?
Oh, poor Johnny. God help him.
Get him off me, Johnny!
Yeah, you got
to live and die in Italy.
Are you a Christmas man?
Shaw's Crab House to Soldier Field for Northwestern, Oklahoma.
Oh God, remember that?
Yeah, there's a guy. I'm not paying attention. We're all
chopping.
Hey,
we were there when Northwestern started to get good.
That's right. We were on the ground floor, and there's a guy on my ass behind me. And my buddy goes, Mac, this guy's going to slam you. And I immediately break into William's character in To Live and Die in L.A. Get him off me, Johnny!
Oh, you're demented.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Parkins, good luck, Parkins, with this guy. I mean, you know.
I was going to say, you have any advice? I mean, I've been doing it since March, but 5 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, just laugh. Just turn your head, laugh, and hope for the best.
Okay.
He means well.
Bill, thanks for the time. Best to Gina, man.
Good to you guys, man. Good to talk to you, Danny.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you for the time.
Bye.
That's William Peterson, Chicago legend. This hour on The Score brought to you by Family Hyundai. Texter says, this is sloppy. Yeah, that's the point. That's the goal around here.
It is, yeah.
A little sloppy.
Man, we're rolling.
We are rolling. That segment brought to you by MassVR. MassVR is having its grand opening February 1st. Join them and celebrate the opening of Chicago's first free-roam multi-arena virtual reality esport facility. Get in the game and shatter the boundaries of virtual reality. 8,000 square feet of unrestricted movement. This all takes place at Old Orchard Mall, the old Lord & Taylor building. 312-644-6767. George McCaskey and William Peterson reaction coming up on The Score. Brent Musburger in 10 minutes. As for your good friend Bill Peterson, I will say he's spot on with where TV is compared to movies. And people were defending some movies. Like, you can quote a...
Oh, goodness.
Of course. There are still good movies being made. It's not a zero-sum game. But the level of good TV is outpacing the level of good movies right now. I think that's just a fact.
Yeah, it is. Three, 4 years ago, there were five fantastic pictures nominated for the Oscar. And The Imitation Game did not win that year. You could make a plausible.
The Spotlight year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Spotlight.
Was it Spotlight or Birdman? I think you're right. I think it was Spotlight, which I would have voted for, but The Imitation Game is
fantastic.
It's Stone Zeppelin. There's another movie, and I meant to ask him about that. I could talk this stuff with him for the whole show that needs to be made. It's the story of Alan Turing, which you learn. I did not know it until I saw The Imitation Game.
Yeah.
He was employed in a covert operation, for those of you who haven't seen or don't know the story, to crack the code, to crack Enigma and end the war. And for his services, his government essentially murdered him. And you see, it's 10 minutes at the end of the film. Talk about wrong side of history.
History did not judge that one very kindly.
Yeah. It's there is another movie for about Alan Turing that should be made about his torture.
I agree with you, and I really think for you specifically, because you love movies so much and you do spend a lot of time. It's your, you'd say that's your decompression, right? That's your
absolutely.
I really do think that there would be, because the budget is such, the caliber of actor is such, the caliber of writing is such, that I really do think that you have HBO, you could just start there and go through an old HBO show. I don't think Game of Thrones is necessarily for you. That's probably a little too fantasy or out there. But you could do Boardwalk Empire if you want.
I've sampled, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm just saying.
If Buscemi's in it, I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look like that, you have to be able to act.
Yes. If you get your Netflix going, it's got Breaking Bad and Ozark on there. Ozark led by Jason Bateman. Just dark, crime, good character shows, good pacing. I think you'd be a big fan of some of these shows.
What was the cliche you struggled with 2 weeks ago? Not gapping a bridge, but
leading a horse to water, you can't make it drink.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it get on an airplane to go to the Kentucky Derby.
That's right.
So, thank you. The suggestion box is well stuffed. Maybe I'll get to it. It's still not my flavor necessarily. Did I say why the British government murdered Alan Turing?
No.
That's the kind of a big part of the story.
I thought you were leaving it out because of the spoiler alert aspect.
Movie was made 5 years ago.
Okay,
so,
I thought it was intentional. Is the only reason I didn't point
it
out.
He had the audacity to be a homosexual, and so they gave him treatments to cure him.
Right, they tried the conversion therapy stuff. Yeah. Not great, Bob.
But that was the mid-40s.
Hell of a movie, though.
Oh, my goodness. Benedict Cumberbatch crushed it.
Yeah.
He crushes everything, though.
He doesn't work a lot, right? He's one of those guys who takes a lot of time between projects and kind of.
He was great in the Grinch movie that came out this Christmas. He was the voice of the Grinch.
Oh, thank you, Tanny.
Thanks for reminding me of another bad thing out of Hollywood in that movie. Oh, I'm sure your daughter loved it.
One of her favorite movies that she's seen in the last month. I can ask a 4-year-old what their favorite movie is.
The last movie.
I can say one thing positive about the last Grinch effort. It was very colorful. That's as far as I can go. The colors were bright. For a second, I thought it was directed by Frank Darabont, whose style of using color in film to me is unrivaled.
How about that?
Yeah.
Do you have a second place for that? That's a thing I've never thought of.
Stuart Rosenberg, perhaps, who gave us Cool Hand Luke and the Pope of Greenwich Village.
I'm glad I asked. Yeah. Okay.
Use of color director draft.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Story time with Brent Musburger as we continue to march towards the Super Bowl coming up. McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
I want you to stay because I like you. I like talking to you.
I like talking to you, too.
What if you weren't alone?
Brent Musburger in 10 minutes. As for your good friend Bill Peterson, I will say he's spot on with where TV is compared to movies. And people were defending some movies. Like, you can quote a...
Oh, goodness.
Of course. There are still good movies being made. It's not a zero-sum game. But the level of good TV is outpacing the level of good movies right now. I think that's just a fact.
Yeah, it is. 3-4 years ago, there were 5 fantastic pictures nominated for the Oscar. And The Imitation Game did not win that year. You could make a plausible.
That was the Spotlight year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Spotlight's amazing.
Was it Spotlight or Birdman? I think you're right. I think it was Spotlight, which I would have voted for, but The Imitation Game is
fantastic.
It's Stone Zeppelin. There's another movie, and I meant to ask him about that. I could talk this stuff with him for the whole show that needs to be made. It's the story of Alan Turing, which you learn. I did not know it until I saw The Imitation Game.
Yeah.
He was employed in a covert operation, for those of you who haven't seen or don't know the story, to crack the code, to crack Enigma and end the war. And for his services, his government essentially murdered him. And you see, it's 10 minutes at the end of the film. Talk about wrong side of history.
History did not judge that one very kindly.
There is another movie about Alan Turing that should be made about his torture.
I agree with you. And I really think for you specifically, because you love movies so much and you do spend a lot of time, it's your, you'd say that's your decompression, right? That's your...
Absolutely.
I really do think that there would be, because the budget is such, the caliber of actor is such, the caliber of writing is such, that I really do think that you have HBO, you could just start there and go through an old HBO show. I don't think Game of Thrones is necessarily for you. That's probably a little too fantasy or out there. But you could do Boardwalk Empire if you want.
I have. I've sampled, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm just saying.
If Buscemi's in it, I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look like that, you have to be able to act.
Yes. If you get your Netflix going, it's got Breaking Bad and Ozark on there. Ozark Jason Bateman. Just dark crime, good character shows, good pacing. I think you'd be a big fan of some of these shows.
What was the cliche you struggled with 2 weeks ago? Not gapping a bridge, but
leading a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it get on an airplane to go to the Kentucky Derby.
That's right.
So, yes, thank you. I appreciate the suggestion box is well stuffed. Maybe I'll get to it. It's still not my flavor necessarily. Did I say why the British government murdered Alan Turing?
No.
That's the kind of a big part of the story.
I thought you were leaving it out because of the spoiler alert aspect.
Movie was made 5 years ago.
Okay,
so,
I thought it was intentional. Was the only reason I didn't point it out.
He had the audacity to be a homosexual, and so they gave him treatments to cure him.
Right, they tried the conversion therapy stuff. Yeah. Not great, Bob.
But that was the mid-40s.
Hell of a movie, though.
Oh, my goodness. Benedict Cumberbatch crushed it.
Yeah.
He crushes everything, though.
He doesn't work a lot, right? He's one of those guys who takes a lot of time between projects and kind of.
He was great in the Grinch movie that came out this Christmas. He was the voice of the Grinch.
Oh, thank you, Tanny.
Thanks for reminding me of another bad thing out of Hollywood in that movie. Oh, I'm sure your daughter loved it.
One of her favorite movies that she's seen in the last month.
I can
ask a four-year-old what their favorite movie is.
The last movie.
I can say one thing positive about the last Grinch effort. It was very colorful. That's as far as I can go. The colors were bright. For a second, I thought it was directed by Frank Darabont, whose style of using color in film, to me, is unrivaled.
How about that?
Yeah.
Do you have a second place for that? That's a thing I've never thought of.
Stuart Rosenberg, perhaps, who gave us Cool Hand Luke and the Pope of Greenwich Village.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Use of color director draft.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Story time with Brent Musburger as we continue to march towards the Super Bowl coming up. McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
I want you to stay because I like you. I like talking to you.
I like talking to you, too.
What if you weren't alone?